Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A couple was celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. They were in a resort town in Colorado. The town was so impressed with how loving they were and kind to one another that they sent out one of the reporters from their website just to interview them and talk about them and find out the secret to their marital happiness. They said, "You guys just seem like you love each other so much, still love each other. How have you maintained that over the years?" And the husband spoke up. He said, "Well, it started on our honeymoon." He said, we got married and then we went to Arizona, went to the Grand Canyon on our honeymoon. He said, we were taking a trip down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon on horseback. So my wife was in front of me, I was on a horse behind her, and her horse stumbled and she almost fell off the horse. She got her composure back and she patted the horse just on the neck and she whispered in his ear, that's one. Said, we hadn't gone 5 minutes further and the horse stumbled again. Again, she almost fell off and again, she got back in the saddle and regained her composure and patted the horse and said, that's two. Said 10 minutes later, the horse really stumbled this time. She actually fell off the horse, but she got up, brushed herself off, walked over, patted the horse on the neck and said, that's three. Reached into her purse, pulled out a small pistol and shot the horse dead right on the spot. He said, I went ballistic. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You don't shoot an animal like that. You don't shoot a poor horse. He didn't mean to do it. Have you lost your mind? So she looked at me and she said, that's one. He said, we lived happily ever after, ever since. Not marriage advice. I do not suggest that. Okay, we're going to do some audience participation this morning. You ready? Here we go. How many of you use an Apple phone, an Apple, the iOS system, your Apple users? That's a lot. That's good. How many of you are using like a Samsung or a Google or Motorola, use the Android system? How many of you have? Why do you Android people get so happy about that? I don't get that. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, have you ever tried to switch systems? It will make your life miserable. I'm an Apple guy, been an Apple guy since the beginning. Actually, I've been a Mac guy for over 20 years. But when the smartphone came out, I went with Apple. And I've been on Apple ever since. And last year, I wanted to buy a backup phone. And so Motorola came back out with a flip phone. Anybody remember the old Razr flip phones? Man, I love that phone. Because with a smartphone, when you hang up on somebody, you just got to punch a button. But with that flip phone, pop, you could snap that thing shut just like that. It was over. Boom. Conversation. So I got one. It's an Android system. No one's going to confuse me for an IT guy, but man, I'm just like lost in that system because I'm so used to the Apple system that working with an Android system was just challenging. And it's vice versa. If you're an Android user and you go to Apple, you got to get used to it. It's a different operating system. Now, this morning, I'm not trying to convince Android users to switch to Apple. That's not the purpose of this message. But the purpose is that we're living in a system. We live in a world where there are two systems. And the world that does not acknowledge God has a system that they operate by, and it's fear-based. We live in a fear-based system. Think about how many times we deal with it. And a lot of times, we just have grown up with it, and we just think it's normal, and yet it's fear-based. Fear of failure. Fear of failure can drive some people to be successful, and it's that fear of failure that keeps them just going and going to be successful. But if you've ever noticed, if it's fear of failure that's driving you, you can never get enough success. Fear of failure also paralyzes some people. Some of our graduates can tell you this. How many of you study for a test, you know you've got it, and that you're ready to take the test, and you freeze up? I hear people say, I just don't test well. That's fear of failure. Fear can paralyze you. Then there's a big one, fear of rejection. What will people think of me? That's a biggie. Fear of not pleasing people. Some novelist said, she was poking fun at herself. She said, why is it that when I don't answer someone's email, I'm always too busy, but when someone doesn't respond to my emails, it's because they hate me. She's dealing with that. I think it was Demi Lovato that did a song called What Other People Say. And she, one of the lyrics was, I messed up in L.A. Just hush, Texas people, just hush. I messed up in L.A. because I'm worried about what other people say. And we live with that, what do other people think, what do other people say. Fear of rejection, very real. Anybody remember Candid Camera? Remember that show? Candid Camera one time did, for those of you who don't know that, they would put up these cameras, hidden cameras, and then they would pull pranks on people, and you got to see how they responded. Some of it could be hilarious. I'm glad I'm not on it. But they did one called Face the Rear. And it was a hidden camera in an elevator. And when an elevator opens, you ever notice we all do the same thing. Elevator opens, we walk to the elevator, and we turn around, we face the front of the elevator. Well, in this one, an individual guy walked in, he turns around, he's facing the front of the elevator, and the next stop, three actors get on. And all of them step on the elevator, and they face the back of the elevator. And the candid camera is showing this guy dealing with the angst of everyone's facing this way, and I'm facing. And then the elevator stops again, and another actor gets on, and they said every time they did it, when the fourth actor gets on and faces the rear of the elevator, the individual who was facing the front would turn. Every time. Every time. They said without fail. Every time. And so you say, well, what is that? That's fear. And it's fear. And it's, we live in a system of fear-based. How about this? Fear of loss. Man, they'll try to, they used to hear commercials, call before midnight tonight. Or they like this offer will expire, and they'll show you what, and they want you to move out of fear. And so it's very real. And the deal is, it's the operating system most all of us grew up with, because we're surrounded by it. But Jesus came not just to pay the price for our sins, but to show us another system. You have an Apple, you have Android, fear and faith-based. Jesus was a representation of God. Look what he says about himself. He who has seen me, Jesus was talking, has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? He was talking to Thomas. He said, Thomas, if you've seen me, if you've seen Jesus, you have seen what God is like. And Jesus not only showed us what God was like, he also showed us what God's kingdom was like. He's the model citizen of God's kingdom. He shows us how God's kingdom operates. And God's kingdom does not operate in fear. God's kingdom is a faith-based system. Jesus was walking one time with a father. His name was Jairus. His little daughter was dying, sick. And Jesus is walking with him. And someone comes from Jairus' home and says, don't trouble Jesus anymore. Don't trouble the teacher. Your daughter's dead. Look what Jesus says. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, he said. Don't give in to the fear, only believe. And Jesus went and healed his daughter, actually raised her from the dead. And she was alive. But Jesus, immediately when he heard that, said, don't give in to fear. We live in a world system that deals in fear all the time. Almost it's unconscious that we deal with fear. But Jesus is saying, there's a different way. And learning a different way. And so one of the questions is, what do we believe? What do we have to bring into ourselves that we live in a different system? Now, here's the deal. All of us are learning. So this is a learning process. You just don't change. Just like when I started working with that Android system, I did not learn it overnight. I was barely getting it on and off. But it's a process. But it's something that we all deal with. Sometime back, I had an individual contact me that wanted to set up a meeting. And I was concerned. I knew the individual, and I thought this meeting could be contentious. We could lock horns on this. And so I remember thinking days before the meeting, I'm anxiously going over all the different scenarios that I might be dealing with in the meeting. Y'all are looking at me like I'm the only one that's ever done this. You've never done this? I'm going over, like, they'll say this, but I'll say that. And then they'll say this, and I'll say that. And you say, well, okay, well, there's nothing wrong with being prepared for a meeting. I highly suggest it. But there's a difference between being prepared and when you're looping, where those thoughts keep coming, and you wake up in the night and you're thinking about it, and they keep coming, and they're anxious thoughts. Anybody ever been there? Just don't, where you're just looping through a situation over and over and replaying it over and over, and usually it's a worst case scenario, but you're going to handle it, and you're just, We had the meeting. It was a wonderful meeting. There was no contention. We resolved the issues. Everything was done. It was like a breeze. And so I'm thinking, all that time that I wasted being anxious, that's fear of loss, fear of rejection. That's wasted time. You say, Alan, what should you have done? I will get to that later. So hold that thought. We'll get to that. But I want to show Jesus showing a different operating system when he's in the boat with the disciples and a storm hits. On that day when evening had come, he, that's Jesus, told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd, took him along since he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. So they woke him up and they said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? And he got up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, silence, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked one another, who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Great example, Jesus in the boat. Remember I said Jesus is the manifestation of God. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. If you see how Jesus operates, you see how the Father operates. And so here's what Jesus in the boat, a windstorm comes. Here's what Jesus did not do. Jesus did not let the boat go under to teach them a lesson. He didn't let the boat go down and they're all treading water. And Jesus said, see, have you learned something from this? That's not what he did. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Here's another thing Jesus didn't do. When they woke him up, they said, we're going to die. Jesus did not get up and go, okay, let me pray about this. Let me pray and see if this storm is from God or if this storm is not from God. He stood up. He rebuked the storm. He told the wind, be quiet, be still, and the sea, calm down. Now, Jesus said about himself, he said, I always do the will of my Father. I always do what my Father. If that storm had been from God and Jesus got up and rebuked it, he would be working against what God wanted. But the storm was not from God. If it comes to steal or to kill or destroy, it didn't come from your heavenly Father. It comes from the enemy and it needs to be resisted and stopped. And that's what Jesus taught us right there. So they did not drown. But he asked them a question. He said, basically, he's like, guys, why are you so afraid? Now, when you read that, you think, Jesus, I know why they're afraid. They're on a boat. There's a windstorm. What was that storm? And it starts with a D. It hit last year. What's it? Derecho. Thank you. I haven't gotten that yet, but derecho. What he said. That storm sent 80 and 90 mile an hour winds up here. Remember that? That was a bad storm. I wouldn't have wanted to be on Lake Conroe when that thing hit. But you imagine even a larger body of water. So you got a bad windstorm. He said a great windstorm. This windstorm is coming. Waves are crashing into the boat. And these guys go to Jesus and they go, we're going to die. And Jesus is like, why are y'all afraid? He's like, because we're going to die. Because the boat is, we're about to get drowned in this thing. But Jesus is always fair. There were reasons for them to believe. There were reasons they could have handled that differently. You say, well, what in the world? What reasons? Well, here's the first one. When Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side of the sea? His words. He said, let's cross over. He did not say, let's go out in the middle and drown. He said, let's cross over. And they were not accustomed to someone who, when he spoke something, it had power in it. When he spoke, we're going to the other side, that's exactly what he meant. And then, when they woke him up, he was sleeping. And they said, teacher, don't you care that we're about to die? They assumed because he was sleeping that he didn't care. What a wrong assumption. A wrong assumption. They believed he didn't care, and they didn't believe in the power of his words. Now, you say, well, I talk all the time. We've met no one who, when every time they speak, their words have eternal value. And when Jesus spoke, he said, heaven and earth will pass away. He said, my words will not pass away. He said, and his words obviously were greater than the natural forces, because when he spoke, they saw the power of his words. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the sea. There was a calm. And so they did not believe in the power of his words. And they did not believe that he cared. See, how could they have handled it? I've often wondered, well, how could they have handled it? Well, they could have, here comes the wind. Here comes the wave. Waves are beating in the boat. They go back. And they could have woken Jesus up and said, Jesus, we're in a situation here. I know you said to cross over, and so that's what we're doing. But, sir, the waves are big. What do you want us to do? And Jesus could have stood up and rebuked it and dealt with it. But there's a whole lot of difference between, Lord, what do you want us to do? You said go over. We trust you. We're going over. You said that. There's a difference between what do you want us to do and we're all going to die. But fear takes things to the ultimate. You ever notice that? I know this has never happened to you, but you get like a pain in your toe and you went, it's cancer, you're going to die. Whoa, wait a minute. Hang on. I mean, you carry that out further and you see yourself there in the casket, and then you start seeing people who came and people who didn't come to your funeral, and then you're mad at people because they didn't show up at your funeral. You have not died yet. It's fear, but that's how fear works. And Jesus said, guys, come on. So what can we learn from this? Remember, we're switching systems from a fear-based system to a faith-based system. And it's just, boy, it's challenging. It's a process. And we're all getting there. Maybe you've just started in your walk with the Lord. It's a process. You'll get there, but you got to keep with it. Let's learn some things to do it. Here's the first one. Choose to believe the power of God's word. We choose to believe the power of God's word. Listen, guys, God's word is so powerful. It created the universe. Put that up in Hebrews 3rd chapter. Look what Hebrews 3 says. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. The universe was created by the word of God. So what is seen was not made from things that are visible. God created, he spoke light be. He spoke things into existence. God's word is powerful. We've never met anyone whose words are that powerful. And what he created is mind-blowing. For hundreds of years, they've only thought there was one galaxy. In fact, if you stand out on a clear night, say if you're in Big Bend or the Rocky Mountains, you can see thousands of stars. They're all part of the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is the galaxy that we live in. It is a big place. Our sun, it's made up of 100 billion stars. Our sun, the star we orbit around, the closest star to our sun is 26 trillion miles away. If we were to travel at the speed of light and leave Earth and go to the middle of our galaxy, the middle of the Milky Way, it would take us 25,000 years. This is big. And God created that with his words. And his words have power. And we saw what Jesus did. His words had power over the natural circumstances, and they still do. So one of the things we're going to believe is, God, your word is powerful. It lives, it exists on a higher plane than just words. It's not just words in an ancient book. There's power there. And then we see this verse right here. The gospel is the power of God that's communicated in words. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. If for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The power of God is in the gospel. When we share the gospel about what Jesus has done, and someone says, I believe that, it's the power of God to absolutely change their life. So many of us have been changed. So many of us can say, we're not the same people that we used to be. We believed the message. We heard God's word. We responded to God's word. Thank God we're new creations in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. We got saved. We got saved out of our sinful condition. We've been made new creations in Christ. We're in right standing with God. The gospel is powerful. But it's not just, the power is not just that it saves us from hell when we die. That's a wonderful thing. Trust me, it's wonderful. Going to heaven, escaping hell, wonderful. But it's not the only thing. The power of God to salvation is bigger than that. The power that salvation is a bigger word than that, and it implies wholeness and soundness. We didn't just get saved from hell when we die, but while we're down here on earth, we got saved from sin and from sickness and from sadness and from mental anguish and from despair and from depression and all the darkness that's in this world. We got saved from that. Now, I'm going to tell one of my stories. Some of you who've been coming here a long time, you know my stories, but there are new people. So, and this story deals with fear. 35 years ago, we moved back to Texas, and I took a job with a company called Administaff. They're now called Insperity. I took a job. It was a sales job. It was a commission sales job, and it didn't even have a base salary. Basically, they loaned me a couple of $1,000 a month that I had to pay them back when I sold something. And so they trained me for about a month, and I went on my very first sales call with one of my trainers. And sitting in the sales call, I'm getting ready to make the sales presentation, and all of a sudden, I had an anxiety attack. And I broke out in anxiety, and I started to sweat. And sweat was pouring down my face. I got up and excused myself. I went to the bathroom. I poured cold water on my face. I couldn't stop. I was a little nervous about that, but then the very next sales call I made it by myself. And as I did that, it happened again. I'm sitting there in the lobby, and all of a sudden, sweat begins to pour. Now listen, if you're doing sales, you don't want your sales rep sitting in front of you pouring sweat. That makes it look like you are not honest or there's something wrong with you. And so then it began to happen over and over again. Anxiety attacks were hitting me right when I was dealing with the situation. And so I'm thinking, God, I need help. Because now I'm thinking, I've got a house, I've got family, we didn't have a lot of money, and the anxiety and the pressure was building. I know what it's like to have anxiety attacks. You can feel them coming on, and you can feel that fear. That's fear to an extreme, and I couldn't function. And man, it was hurting. And I'm praying, I'm like, God, I need help. But the gospel is the power of God to salvation, including a freedom from fear, including a freedom from anxiety attacks. And I was sitting in a lobby of a man's place of business, getting ready to call on a guy. And I felt that anxiety attack begin to come. But thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And he ministered, just a scripture came up to me. It's out of John, the 8th chapter, verse 36. He whom the Son has made free is free indeed. And that scripture rose up in me. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. And I began to realize, wait a minute. I don't have to put up with this. Jesus has made me free from this. I don't live in the world system. I don't live under the authority of the enemy. I don't live under the authority of darkness. I live under the authority of God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is not a fear-based kingdom. It is a faith-based kingdom. And it rose up in me. And I'm like, no, we're not having it anymore. And I walked in that meeting. No sweats. Nothing broke out. Sold that guy. And in 35 years, I've never had an anxiety attack again. I've dealt with, I have dealt with fear. I have dealt with anxiety. We all, but not to the point where it gripped me. For listen, the gospel is the power of God to salvation from anxiety, from depression, from addiction, from the things that absolutely hold us in bondage. If to everyone who believes. You got to believe it. If you go, oh, I don't believe that, do not worry about it then. It will not happen for you. But if you just, you simply go, I'm going to believe that, it'll change your life. Here's a second one. To change systems, choose to believe in God's care for you. Oh, that He loves you, that He cares about you. In John, the first chapter, it says this. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We weren't doing such a great job that God said, oh, well, they've been trying. No, God loved us. And God sent His Son to pay the price that we could not pay. That's love revealed. God moved first. And when God moved first, we just simply respond to that love. We can't feel a hug. We can't feel, you know, God, I just wish God could hug me. No, no, we believe what He says. We believe His words, and we believe what He says. So we believe, okay, I'm loved. And here's the thing. God loves us enough, He doesn't want us burdened down with care. He doesn't want us worn out with care. Look at this verse here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you. Not crush you, exalt you at the proper time. Casting all your cares on Him because He cares about you. Let me go back to that story. Remember the story I said about the meeting? What should I have done? I'm worried about the meeting. I'm anxious about the meeting. I'm kind of looping the meeting with that individual. But what should I have done? I should have said, Lord, You got this. I give You the care of this. I'm not going to worry about it. I trust You will help me. I'm giving the care of this to You. And it could have helped me through that meeting. We don't have to live just stewing in the anxiety all the time. That's so difficult. We don't have to live there. Here's the last one. Stay connected to the powerful One who loves you the most. You know, the disciples were in the same boat with Jesus. They asked Him for help. He helped them. They were in the same boat. Jesus is not an add-on. Jesus is the one we're connected to. And we don't just want to connect on Sunday or Wednesday. We want to connect all the time. Lord, You are our power source. You are the one we are trusting. And because we're trusting in You, You are not, this is not a formula. This is not a 1, 2, 3. This is a relationship. We trust You that You love us. You will help us. Boy, what a difference that makes. So we stay connected to the One who is powerful and the One whose words count in our life and the One who makes a difference. What a difference it makes. You know, for years and years, we thought there was one galaxy, the Milky Way, that's it. In the 1920s, a scientist by the name of Edwin Hubble discovered another galaxy out there called Andromeda. And he said, this isn't a dust cloud, it's another galaxy. So we're like, whoa, there's two. Amazing. And when they created the space telescope, they named it after him, Hubble, because he expanded our belief. He expanded what we knew of the universe. Whoa, there's two galaxies with over 100 billion stars in these galaxies. We're like, wow. 1995, a scientist suggested that we focus the Hubble Space Telescope on a dark spot the size of a grain of sand. Say, let's see what's beyond that. For 10 days, this telescope circled the Earth, and when it sent back these images, we found that that dark spot was not a dark spot. But they discovered there's over 3,000 galaxies in that dark spot. 3,000 galaxies with 100 to 200 billion stars apiece in them. But that's our God. That's our God. Don't limit Him to just, so you're just struggling through life and just, you feel like there's no hope and there's no help. No, don't limit Him. His words towards you is, He wants to take your cares. His words towards you is, give it to Him. His words towards you is, His salvation is to those that believe. And boy, his salvation is available to you. Would you bow your head just for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, no one moving around or leaving. If you came today and you said, you know what, I know I need God in my life. I'm just not sure where I stand with it. Or maybe you were at one point in time and you realize you walked away from him and you know how much you need him in your life. Well, here's the good news today. The good news is all you have to do is make a step towards him and he's going to receive you. It's not that hard. It's so simple. You just simply have to believe and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. What a difference that makes. Heads are bowed, knives are closed, no one moving around. If that's you I'm talking to, and we're going to pray. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come down to the front. But if that's you and you say, you know what, I want to make sure where I stand with God, or I need to come back to him, would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up real quickly across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Great. Thank you for your courage. It takes courage to do that. Boy, what a good result. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to say a prayer. Just a short prayer, powerful prayer. If you're watching online and this is talking to you, if you're by yourself, I want you to pray this prayer with us out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. If you're here, we're going to pray it together as a church family. So you pray with us. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed real quickly. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for those who've come out of spiritual darkness into your light, and for those who've come back. And Father, we also pray, Father, for those, I pray right now for those who are dealing with an anxiety and a fear that just absolutely holds them back and paralyzes them. Father, I thank you that your salvation is available to them, and that's not the way you want them to live. Thank you for your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom of freedom and peace. And we give you all the praise for that. Father, thank you for their lives. And for those of us that know you and serve you, open our eyes that we might see the wonderful power that you have towards us because we believe. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.